Well, next hour, we will be taking your open line phone calls. But when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, we'll take your calls now with Hollister Rand as we talk about our work. I'm not dead. I'm different on Coast to Coast AM. Hollister, is the way one dies, does it determine what happens to them in the afterlife? If there was a tragic death or just they died of some disease or anything like that?
Fortunately not. What I have heard from the spirits is that it's the love that they have experienced in this life here and the love that they've received and given that determines their experience. In fact, even the most tragic and difficult deaths, I have had spirits say that they never felt it. They were out of their bodies before it happened. So from this side, some deaths can look very difficult, very tragic, very terrifying, and yet the spirits report that it's not that way from their side of it.
All right, let's go to some of the phones. As promised, Rush City, Minnesota. First-time caller Justin's on with us. Hey, Justin, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Nice talking to you.
Sure.
I actually was calling. I had just two quick questions. One of them was I had called in to another radio show recently, probably several months ago, actually, but I was told that I had a guardian spirit who was James, Jesus's brother, and I was just wondering if you'd ever heard of something like that happening before. And secondly, my mother died when I was young, and I've gotten dreams and stuff that she was in, and I was just wondering if maybe these are like visitations of some sort.
All right, I'll let you answer the second one. Go ahead,
okay.
Hollister.
Well, yes, absolutely. The dreams that you're having are very often visitations, and it's the way that the spirits can meet us. And so it doesn't matter even if you did not know someone. Sometimes they will come in ways that you can recognize them. Sometimes you won't recognize them, but I really trust that this is indeed your mother coming to you in your dreams to let you know that she's still with you.
And Justin, James, Jesus's brother, I'm not going to say it is or it isn't, but it doesn't happen very often. I don't hear much of that. So if that's what that host said or his guest or her guest, so be it. But I've not heard it before. Let's go to Steve in Denver, Colorado. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Steve.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller here, and I've been listening to your show for about the past year, and I'm
super.
Just really intrigued by your subjects.
It's different.
Yes, it is.
It's different.
I wanted to relay a story. Happened, about maybe 20 years ago or so. My grandfather died in his house, and he was a painter. He did landscapes of Southwest Arizona and stuff. And I had an out-of-body experience, and I went upstairs. You know, I was in his living room, and I went upstairs, and I saw him painting a painting. And he usually painted with yellows and browns, you know, terracotta. And this time he was painting with blues. And I asked him, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm painting a painting for you. And I said, okay. And this is out-of-body, and he's in a spirit state.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, I had that experience and came back, and a few years, about 10 years later, my parents moved into the house, and they needed to get all of his paintings out of the house because they were going to sell it, and I was going through about, 300 or so paintings, and I found this blue painting of Maroon Bells here in Colorado, and it was all blue, and it was unsigned. He told me it was going to be unsigned, so I brought it home, and it was in the wintertime. And we brought it home, and I sat it in the living room, and we were looking at it. And I had been married in 1980, so this was like about maybe 84. And my oldest stepson looked at the painting. He says, I see a face in the rock wall. And I go, well, describe it to me. And he says, well, the man in the painting is sitting next to you. And I said, what does he look like? He says, he looks just like you, because my father looked like my grandfather, and I looked like him. And so that was sort of interesting. And the furnace was on that night, but in the living room, it was cold. And then about, 2-3 months later, my wife said that I was sleeping, and I sat up in bed. I was breathing really shallowly, and I was having a conversation with somebody. She said it was pretty cold in there. Then I laid back down and went to sleep. Don't remember anything about that. But I just wanted to relay that story to you, that I do believe in spirits being with us, because the face in that painting was there for about 6 years, and then it disappeared, so he must have thought I was okay.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I comment on that? First of all, what a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
And it touches on a lot of the things we've been talking about tonight. Spirits sort of manifesting things. We haven't discussed that, but I have experienced also things called apports, where the spirits will manifest physical things here on the earth plane. And it's really not a common occurrence. So you're very fortunate to have experienced that. Also, the fact that your son communicated with the spirit of your grandfather. As we talked about earlier, children are very attuned to the spirit world. So that's really wonderful as well. And the fact that there was cold, which really, you know, there was no reason for it necessarily, is often a sign of spirit. So sort of temperature changes are important to sort of track if you want to see if spirits are around.
Can other individuals communicate with spirits, or do we need special training?
My belief has always been, from the time I was a child, that everybody could do this to one degree or another. I really see it as a talent, like singing or dancing. So all of us may be able to sing in the shower, but very few of us are going to sing opera on the stage. And I think it's a lot like spirit communication. So there will always be those through training and innate talent who will be exceptional. But I really think that all of us, if we are open to it, can have experiences with spirits.
What about belief? Must you believe in order to communicate?
I will say yes and no, and I hate to give two answers to the same question. It seems as though if you have an awareness of spirits, you are more likely to an awareness and a belief in something other than this life, you are more apt to have experiences because you will not sort of fluff them off as, oh, well, that was just coincidence or it was just my imagination, that kind of thing. But I have also had clients who have had their minds changed by direct communication with spirits. So it's in some ways, it's kind of both.
All right, let's go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hey, Jim, thank you. Go ahead.
George, you couldn't have picked a better example. I was going to ask, why is it some people can get direct communications, and myself, I get, for lack of a better descriptive, a gut feeling about things from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I cannot carry a note when singing.
I bet that gut feeling that you're teaching yourself how to react to it, because I bet years ago you didn't react to it and you got burned, right?
In younger days, it was happened more often and a little more accurate. And mm-hmm. I tend to get connections with people, such as sometimes I'll feel a pain, like a pain in a knee, and I'll get a phone call from someone, and they will have hurt their knee. But I have no idea who it is until they call and tell me.
That's interesting. Now, how does that work, Hollister?
Well, I call that clairsentience. And so you're clairsentient. You're picking up someone's pain or issues, things like that, someone who is living on this side of life. And that's a psychic connection. Now, if it were a spirit and you were feeling that, so if I'm talking to a spirit, I may say, ooh, I'm feeling a pain in my knee. I believe this person, when he was here on the earth plane, had trouble with the knee. And I find out, yes, there was a knee replacement and that kind of thing. So we can connect both with others here on this side as well as on the other side.
You know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel right. You don't feel good. You know, there've been days you wake up and you feel chipper and excited and, you know, physically ready to go. And then other days you feel sluggish and like there's something wrong and you can't figure it out. You know, you say to yourself, yeah, you know, I don't think I'm sick. I went to bed fine. I got some sleep. Why don't I feel right? And then some huge calamity occurs.
Exactly.
Or some event someplace. I bet a lot of people don't put two and two together, do they?
No, and there actually have been studies which have shown that before great calamities strike, there seems to be almost a collective sense that something is going to happen. So, yes, we are tuned into that. Whether we recognize it or not, sort of by nature that mm-hmm. happens.
Let's go to Susan in Sherman Oaks, California, probably not too far from you, Hollister.
Hello.
Hi, Susan.
There. Hi. Hey. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been going through some particularly challenging times the last month, transitioning my parents into an assisted care facility. And I've been asking my angels and the universe to help me, keep me strong, help my parents to make this a little bit easier for them as well. And, I've recognized that I may be feeling apprehensive about a doctor's appointment or some task that I have to do because it's all new territory for me. And I've noticed that it's not as hard as it could have been. I really feel that I'm feeling goosebumps all over right now. I feel that I really have angels or guides around me right now helping me through this difficult, difficult journey. And I know it will all be okay. And I just think it's pretty special to have help like that when you need it in such difficult times.
I think you're right, Susan Hollister. I think you'll agree.
Absolutely. And Susan, the truth of the matter is we really are not alone. But the good news is you asked for help. And that's really important because that's an important component of all of this. Spirits are there for us, but there's a cooperative kind of an exchange that needs to take place. So if we're determined to do things on our own, they will allow us to do that. So mm-hmm. just because you asked, be assured that they will show up to really help you through this.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What about the person, Hollister, who keeps saying, please, God, just this one time. And then next time, please, God, just this one time. They just keep asking for the same stuff over and over and over again, just this one time.
Yeah, the interesting thing that the spirits have shown me about pleading and asking for things, they turn the tables on us. And so I found out that please is not nearly as effective as thank you. So what the spirits have shown me is if you have an attitude of gratitude, no matter what the situation is, and sometimes there are days when it's like you don't feel like there's anything to be grateful for, except, wait a minute, the sun is shining in the sky. Okay, thank you. The sun is shining in the sky. In gratitude, what happens is you can't be thankful and angry at the same time. And when you're angry, you're blocking spirit's energy from working with you. But in gratitude, you're opening the door for them to help you with the very things that you desire.
And, of course, it's always thankful to be able to wake up in the morning, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, it can just be as simple as that. You can start small. It's really okay.
Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri on our Skype line. Frank is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Frank.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good.
Hollister, the questions I kind of have is I've got a little bit of what I call premonitions. I'll dream something, it'll come to pass.
Right.
I'll think of somebody, they'll call. But the one thing I've not been able to do is make contact with spirit guides. And I want to learn to do that. And I want to learn to be able to do that on a regular basis. How do I go about that?
Okay, well, I teach classes all of the time, and I teach people to get in touch with their spirit guides. And also in my book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, I give certain exercises to help people jumpstart their communication. But very simply, you can just ask your spirit guides to show themselves or to give you some indication. And the interesting thing about spirit guides is they're unlike other spirits, because they don't necessarily care whether you know who they are or not. So there's no matter of ego here. Well, he has to know my name and he has to know this. No, that's a desire that we have so that we understand with whom we're working in cooperation. So if you ask your spirit guide to show him or herself in some way, that's sometimes enough. And just allow it to come as it will.
Tell me about what you're doing checking into the boogeyman. What's happening here?
Well, as a kid, I was terrified, and I would not let one toe off my bed.
Or hand, flip over.
Or
right?
Hand, no. I was absolutely convinced that there was something under my bed. So I really think that, you know, sort of the boogeymen and those energies, I really do think that we're sort of tuning in to maybe some of the lower energies in life. And the more we're afraid of those, the more they have a form, and they can take a form.
Why do most children feel that way about dangling your hand in your arm over the bedside? How come, was there a movie that we saw when we were kids?
It's almost like we saw the same movie before we were incarnated.
I know.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Part of it is, I really do think that as kids, we're getting used to being in a body. And there's a whole lot of stuff that comes with that. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not quite in control of my limbs. I don't know how I interact with the world. You know, there's really that feeling. And the spirits, when I hear people talk about, oh, it's such a relief to not have that body or be limited by it, I think as children, we remember what it is not to be limited by a body or have those boundaries and connect with all of the energies around us. And so as children, being sort of sensitive to those energies anyway, it's like you know they're there. So you kind of want to keep yourself close.
What have you found as probably the most profound thing that a kid spirit has told you, taught you?
Oh, my goodness. It goes beyond understanding. What I would say is that life is not measured by time on earth, but by love received and love expressed. I think that's probably the most profound thing.
Explain that.
I've spoken with spirits who have never walked here on the earth plane, have been, you know, their bodies were miscarried. I spoke with one young spirit who appeared to her father. And she showed herself as growing up with her family. And the last thing she said to me was, tell my dad, you gave me enough love for a lifetime. Now, that father had held his little girl after she was born in his arms. She took one breath, and she died.
Jeez.
And so her life, the love that she received, was enough. The love that he gave her in that moment superseded an entire, you know, lifetime. So what we think of as you have to have a lifetime or you have to do this, we have these ideas about life and reality, which are very limited. And I think spirit has a very broad way of looking at things. And I think that it's measured in love.
I think you're right. We'll be back with more final questions with Hollister Rand in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Well, for less than a quarter a day, you can become a Coast Insider, getting these podcasting downloads, past archives, and all kinds of things, video chats. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in just a moment, we'll take final phone calls with Hollister Rand. I'm not dead. I'm different. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Hollister, I'm interested in this. Yeah, you say that kids who have died accidentally will sometimes protect other kids from dying in a similar way. Tell me about that.
Well, there are several ways to look at this. Kids who have passed through accidental death will often inspire their parents to start foundations or raise money for certain causes. And I'll give you an example that is in my book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. I was doing a session for a group of people, and there was a young boy who showed up. And his parents said, does he know what we were doing yesterday? And he described to me, he showed me like a bicycle helmet and balloons and things like that. And it turns out that they were giving away bicycle helmets to kids that didn't have enough money to buy them. And this kid himself had passed through a head injury when he had fallen off his bike. So in that way, kids that have passed with accidents will often inspire and leave a legacy behind of helping other children and preventing that in their lives.
Okay, let's go to the phones again. We'll pick it up by going to Slidell, Louisiana. Carmel is with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Thank you so much. How was that?
Sure,
both of you. You're doing such a great thing tonight. My father had passed away, and he was my best friend, and I was a single mother with my three daughters. And a few weeks after that, I found out the baby, my little four-year-old, had cancer, leukemia. And she kept telling me, we'd go to his gravesite, and she kept telling me, I want to see my pop. She called him Popo. I want to go and live there with him in that room. We were going to the gravesite. And I said, no, baby. I said, you can bring drawings and different things. You can't do that. Well, she was diagnosed, and the following year, she died on his birthday.
Hmm.
I know.
Incredible.
But, you know, what you were just talking about, she died of leukemia, and a man came to my office. I was a GM for a hotel, and it was just mysteriously, the front desk knew I just lost my daughter to leukemia. And he came in my office, and he said, oh, this is a beautiful little girl. Is she yours? I said, yes, I lost her a couple of months ago. And he says, I'm putting you in contact with someone. And before I knew it, I was doing so much fundraising. They voted me in on board of directors. And I said, please, don't thank me. It's my daughter.
All right. So you understand exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yes.
They leave a tremendous legacy behind for other children, for causes and things like that. Oh, I have such chills with this story, I have to tell you, Carmel. This is exactly how children, and your little one knew she was going to go to Paw Paw.
Yes, she did.
She absolutely did. And I can assure you that he was waiting with open arms.
She crowned the mother on in May, right before we went for the bone marrow transplant. And they heard her talking to Unto Dispatcher saying, I'll be with you soon. And she was.
Yes. And very often, those who are about to pass will start talking to the spirits who are greeting them. And I had that same experience with my own mother when she was passing. So I know it's a tremendous comfort to know that they are being met and they are not alone, especially the little ones who go. So many parents are worried, are they alone? You know, are they sitting in the dark all by themselves? Oh, absolutely not. They are greeted with loving and open arms.
All right, great. Thanks for that advice, by the way. Paul is in Corning, California, and he's on Coast to Coast. Hey, Paul.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And Hollister, this is great. Let me break down the question somehow here. You had mentioned earlier about smelling, the sense of smell in clairsentience, I believe was the term.
Well, clairsentient is feeling things, but clairalliance is smelling.
Clairalliance,
yeah.
Okay. It's funny you just said that because it's coincidental that just over the last couple of weeks, I have a situation with a husband and a wife and another best friend, and I really do not think that I'm reading them in terms of, you know, physical cues, and yet it's almost like, have you ever had the experience where they think that they're pulling something off where you're already 20 pages ahead, but you don't want to embarrass them? You know what I mean? And so you just stay quiet and let things go. But then finally, you know, you kind of go, all right, well, this is the kind of experience that I've been having lately. And I've been having a lot of these experiences, and they're turning out to be true. And I'm wondering, when a person is chronically ill or if they're getting close to death, do they tend to become more psychic in all these areas? Because frankly, it's freaking me out. I have a real kind of a rat part of my brain that's really skeptical. And yet I can't deny what's happening. Nobody else can. And they're wondering, how do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know?
Well, first of all, don't panic. Just because this is sort of amping up in your life, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to join the other side tonight. So let's put that aside. What's one of the things that I'm seeing happening is that with the awareness of this kind of work in the world today, there's so much more awareness and acceptance. Because of that, even the most skeptical people are beginning to experience things they don't understand. So that side of your brain where you're like, am I imagining this? I must be imagining this. One of the things I suggest in my book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, is doing an exercise called the patchwork quilt, where you start keeping a list of some of these things that are happening to you, some of the things you're smelling, some of the things you're knowing, and all of that, and you start to see patterns emerge that you can no longer deny. Mm-hmm. So that's a very helpful tool. Now, as far as sort of launching into people like, well, you weren't pulling the wool over my eyes, I saw this coming kind of thing. One of the things I teach my students is the idea of mutual respect. And people do have to live their own lives. And sometimes we are given information for our own purposes within the realm in which we're working. So we have knowledge to help us work within the framework, like a family and that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean we run around giving messages to everybody and that kind of thing. People really have to come to terms with their own issues in their lives. And we're not meant to be pointing fingers at everybody just because we know something.
Hollister, let me ask you this. I believe this. There's no doubt I believe this. But what if the brain somehow has some kind of mechanism within it that creates these things, that make us think we're talking to people who've passed over, to make us think that there's a heaven? What if there's just nothing?
Well, I think we have to look at this in a couple of different ways. The brain, the functional brain, is very different from the mind. And that is being established by scientists, that our physical brain has certain limitations, but the mind sort of extends beyond our physical life, even as we are sitting in these physical bodies. So one of the best, I think, sort of marks in this life to understand all this are near-death experiences, and there's been extensive studies of this. And so people who come from different ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds, there are so many similarities to this, this experience, that there's got to be something to it. So what I would say to people who would try to explain it away and say, you know, maybe it's a function of the brain, maybe we're just having some mass hallucination perhaps, maybe it's just a sort of like an opiate to help us get through life, I would say, now, wait a minute. There are some things that as a group cannot just be explained away. So even if you don't buy it hook, line, and sinker, there's enough to make us really question that there's something else going on.
All right, let's go to Torrington, Connecticut. Ben's with us. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Sorry, that's just instinct. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to share a quick story, but I do have to say I love this program, and it's always, you know, interesting stuff happening. Thanks. And, you know, I would have to say with the person speaking, and actually a lot of the conversations that we're having about, you know, the consciousness of knowing, you know, you know, I was thinking about somebody and then they called, or thinking about the other gentleman, thinking about somebody and their knee was hurting and he knew it. You know, I've had similar things where I've woken up out of sleep and I was like, you know, earthquake, and there was an earthquake the next day. That's about the farthest I've ever gone with it. But I do have to say that it's definitely a real thing, just like with, you know, number generator, you know, experiment.
The random generator, sure.
Yeah. So it's really great. You know, definitely a true thing. But I just wanted to share a quick thing. Was before I was even born, and actually both my sisters, the only, you know, siblings in my family, were only infants, and my parents, you know, were watching the three kids, and during the middle of the night there was a crash and a picture frame, you know, fell off of the wall. But when my parents went in, nobody was old enough, you know, to even leave their rooms. The picture frame was tucked underneath the chair, and all the chairs were pushed in, and there was no way, you know, it was like on a wall like 8 feet away. It wasn't like, you know, there was no way for everything to be pushed under there. And it's kind of an interesting thing, and they always thought that it was a, you know, a child spirit that tried to tuck it away so that nobody would see. And that was the only reason I called, really.
Well, Ben, I love that story. I remember I spoke with a client, and a spirit came through and said to her, I was the one who knocked the picture off the wall in the bathroom, and then went to describe this. The picture frame was laying in one spot. The picture itself was separate, and then the glass was laying separate from that, and nothing was broken. It was just laid out perfectly. One of the signs that there's spirit activity is that very often they won't break the things that they're knocking over. And I've seen things in my own house. I've watched them fall, and they sort of float. There's an arc. I'm like, what? Did I just see that? And I have to question myself sometimes. But I had a big bust fall in my house, and it landed absolutely upright. It didn't hit anything, and it didn't break. And I couldn't, and it just defied physics. I couldn't understand it. So that's a real interesting story, Ben. I love it.
Thank you, Ben. Let's go to Houston, Texas now. Joe's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Really appreciate the show tonight. All right, quick story. At about 11:40 tonight, I was listening to the radio to an older episode of our show of Coast to Coast. And then all of a sudden, the radio turned down to where it was barely audible. And then the TV clicked on by itself, and I wasn't near any remote controls, and I was in the apartment by myself. I'm really freaked out because most of my life I've been seeing stuff. I'm a veteran. Every one of my roommates have experienced things with me. What do I do about these trickster ghosts that I see or that I feel? You know, one time I've been grabbed when I was wide awake. I could see things like action figures would like move, or when I was a kid, like the remote controls would like run into the walls by themselves. My family's experienced all of this. What do I do?
Well, the good news is we do not have to be, our lives don't have to be run by the spirits. We can set very, very clear boundaries, and that's what I have done in my life. So one of the things you can do is you can set love in your house, and I do this with really calling out love in all areas of the house, and that automatically raises the vibration in the house so that anything that doesn't belong there won't be there. The other thing, and some people use holy water, statues of Buddha. I mean, there are a lot of different things that you can do to begin to shift the energy in your house. The other thing is spirits will often use, you know, sort of electronic equipment, radios and televisions all the time that happens. And that may not be mischievous spirits. It really may be some of your loved ones stopping by to say hello, or even people that you knew in the armed forces, that kind of thing. So there might be a couple of things going on in your life, but you don't have to be, your life does not have to be run by this.
Why do we have these mischievous spirits? Why don't they just move on?
You know what? We have self-will. We have our own will, and we have it here. I mean, haven't you been to a party where it's just somebody just keeps talking to you? It's like, God, this guy is so boring. Can't I just get rid of him?
Those are called psychic vampires.
Right.
They suck your energy.
That's
just
right.
By walking next to you.
Yeah, so you just want to get away from some people, and you're just sort of tolerating it. Well,
I got cornered yesterday at a restaurant with some guy, delightful guy, loves the show, but that's all he wanted to talk about, and I was having dinner.
Right.
You know, and I was so polite. I mean, you have to be.
Right,
of course. I normally, if I'm at any event or anything, I've got producer Tom with me, so he's kind of like my go-between. But I was out there all by myself.
Yeah, Tom the bouncer.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm listening on and on and on and on about, you know, every show I've done. And I'm going, oh, my God. You know,
right. And, well, just know, as people on this side of the other side do not respect boundaries, there are also spirits that don't. So that's why I have set very, very clear boundaries. And when I was writing my book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, I said to the spirits, I'm going to need help with this. This is my first book. I'm going to need some, you know, send me someone who's a writer to help me. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I felt someone right by my back. And I was like, you don't belong here. I don't talk to spirits in the middle of the night anymore. You must go. And the male spirit left. And then I woke up the next morning and I went, oh, I think I just sent away the guy who was supposed to help me write my book. And so I asked for him to come back, and I found out later that it was actually my own grandfather who was a journalist.
And you chased him away.
And I chased him away because, of course, I didn't recognize him, and I have such firm boundaries in my life. You know, so it was, I couldn't believe it. I sent away my own grandfather.
Are you ever concerned that evil spirits and entities might try to attach themselves to you because you've got this link?
I am no longer concerned with that. I used to be, but now that I work at a very specific vibration and I really raise everything to the place of love, spirits who
do not operate in that realm cannot really work with my energy. It's very uncomfortable for them.
So would you use a Ouija board?
Oh, and I have. Yes, I would
you,
use
you
a Ouija
will.
Board. Oh, yes.
Huh.
But I will use it setting the vibration, saying a blessing beforehand, only working with people that I trust, you know, to have their hands on. Yeah, it's once again, the Ouija board is a tool. If you use it correctly and you set the energy and the intention correctly, it's a tool like any other. Unfortunately, Ouija boards have gotten a bad rap because people sort of stay up all night, they're drinking. It's like, oh, let's see who's around. Well, if you're having a party, would you open your front door and scream out into the neighborhood, anybody who's here, come on in? Well, when you use a Ouija board, if you don't set the energy right, that's what you're doing.
Well, I tell you, I'm not using them.
No, and that's the thing I would say is if you are uncomfortable in any way, do not. But I have used them in my classes, and we've had wonderful success with them.
Let's see if we can squeeze Nick in Chicago. Go ahead, Nick. We got a minute for you.
Hi, George.
Hi.
So I was wondering, I've been hearing a lot about humans having spirits, but I was wondering, do animals have spirits too? And, like, have you talked to them?
I would think they do. How about you? Have you come across any animal spirits?
I talk to animals all the time. And some of the reason for that is that these days, animals are such a part of our family's lives. And so they're really very funny as well. So I recently talked to a donkey named Bucky, who complained that his name was Bucky because it was his brother David, another donkey who actually bucked people off his back.
I love that. Hollister, we're out of time. I want to thank you. Your book, available where? Where can we get it?
You can get it at Barnes & Noble, but you can also go to my website, hollisterrand.com, HollisterRand.com.
Very good. Thank you. You've been a delight.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. 2 hours of open lines. Get ready. Don't forget, at the end of the show tonight, we're going to give UFO Phil a break. And I'm going to be running a song by a group called Minutes from Brooklyn, New York, called Coast to Coast, You Make Me Smile. We had it highlighted on the coasttocoastam.com website a few days ago, but we're going to play that to wrap up the program tonight. But we've got open lines, lots of things going on, incredible weather, you name it, spiritual things, UFOs, open lines next on Coast to Coast AM.